Chapter 1. Why do you need a code of honor? In the absence of rules, people make up their own rules. And some of the biggest collisions in business and relationships occur because well-meaning people are simply playing by different sets of rules. By the same token, the most miraculous results come from like-minded folks who band together under some invisible bond to achieve greatness. By experience and default, we all formulate our own sets of guidelines, rules, and assumptions. That's natural. But when we start coming together with other people or organizations, we sometimes have a tough time figuring out why those guys don't understand, or how they could so blatantly turn their back on our feelings, our way of doing things, and our rules. In most respects, those guys feel the same way about us. Why? Because we assume that certain basic rules are the same. Bad assumption. This audiobook reveals the process for eliminating one of the biggest causes for financial loss, frustration, and heartbreak. It is about surrounding yourself with folks who subscribe to the same sets of rules and how to establish them so that you can ensure peak performance, fun, and incredible results in all you do. For about 12 years now, I've actively studied teams looking at what makes them successful and how they are able to operate at peak performance. And after all this time, I can tell you this. You cannot have a championship team without a code of honor. If you are interested in building a great relationship, whether it's with your business, your community, or even yourself, there have to be rules and standards for the behavior that will ultimately achieve your goals. Let me illustrate what I mean. When I was in high school in Ohio, I was on the cross-country running team. What a lot of people don't know about cross-country is that there are typically about 5 to 7 runners per team racing at the same time. The only way your team can win is if the whole team finishes relatively close together, close to the front of the pack. In other words, having a superstar who runs ahead of the pack and places first doesn't do the team any good if everyone else is all spread out across the field. So, for the entire 2.5-mile race, each of us would push the others on, encouraging, threatening, yelling with each gasping breath for air. With muscles burning and body strength faltering, it was as much a race of emotional endurance as it was physical. We pushed each other both on and off the course. If someone was slacking, you can rest assured the rest of the team would be on him quickly to pick it up. Whatever it took for us to cross that finish line close together, that's what we did. In other words, part of our code was to do whatever it took to support our teammates. We won most of our cross-country meets, even though we had very few superstar runners. We were a championship team. It was my first experience with teams at the most basic level, but the lessons it taught me remain the same today. I have always surrounded myself with people who would push me that way and who would allow me to push as well. As a result, I have always been blessed with incredibly great friendships, success, and wealth. I've also observed that it is in times of pressure when the stakes are high that people are transformed. I have never seen a great team that didn't come together without some type of pressure. It could be from competition, from outside influences, or it could be self-induced. We knew in those cross-country meets that every person, every second, every step counted toward a win for our team, and it bound us together. We knew that the success of the team took precedence over our individual goals. No one wanted to let the others down. We had a code that said we stuck together no matter what. And in those really important moments, we came together and did what we needed to do to be successful.